Now we're going to be studying the readings, preparing these readings for this 27th Sunday. And the theme is marriage. Or if you will, the theme is man and woman. It's very beautiful. And the inviolability of marriage and the generosity of God to have devised this way. Huh? The two ends of marriage are what? Fostering love and affection between a couple and having children. That's particularly, if you look at the sexual dimension of marriage, that's what it's for. Who thought of that? God. That was God's gift. And when it's not abused, it's a great gift. So then, we're going to look at this text now, where we're in chapter 2. That's our text. It's chapter Genesis 2, 18 to 22. Chapter 1 in Genesis, perhaps I should explain, is a long, like, ordered, almost liturgical account of creation. There's nothing. See? Bereshit bara Elohim. Ha'eretz v'ha'shamayim. And the eretz and the word earth was dark and void, and the Spirit hovered over the water. That's saying chaos, which hovers over its nothingness. And God speaks. Yehi or. Vayehi or. Let there be light. And there was light. God wills it. God expresses His will, and it happens. That's creation. So that first text takes us through a long, beautiful, ordered account based on the best cosmology of the day, but it's poetic. It's like reading Dante. You read Dante, you can't pin him down to, but the vision of reality that's there is overwhelming. You know, if you look in the heaven, the purgatory, and the inferno. But it's a poetic, because sometimes poetry is closer to reality than scientific thought. I remember a young, wonderful neurophysicist up in a hospital in Boston, and brilliant young fellow, going to have a very successful career. But he said what he told me. He said, at home now, I have a collection of all the great books. And every day, I try to read part of one. I'm going right through them all. He said, because I realized I had so narrowed myself since high school into science that I don't know how to relate to my patients. I love them. I want to help them. I've mastered my science. But I've got to have more of a humanity. So I'm reading the classics in order to expand my humanity to relate to my patients. Wasn't that a real insight? That's what most modern people don't know how to do. And so that's where we are. So then that ends, and then juxtaposed is another account of creation, really different. And it's John Paul II's favorite. He likes this one more than this one. This one is poetic. It's trying to have us enter into this awesome thing. And so it portrays it so much differently. In fact, I probably should read you a little bit of, the other text starts in the beginning. You know, there was no, God created heaven and earth. You know, it was darkness hovering over, there was nothing. You see? In this other text, it's much more, man-centered, if I could use the term. So, we're not going to find a cosmological treatise. Huh? We're going to find a spiritual and mystical understanding of creation and the pinnacle of creation in this world, man and woman. That's what it's for, the both first one and the second one. The first one ends, having plotted out a week, it ends with Shabbat. So It's a liturgical presentation of creation. This one is older and it's less liturgical, if you will. And so this is a story, such is the story of the heavens and earth at their creation. That ends that first account in the fourth verse of chapter 2. Then it says, at the time when the Lord God, and now we have this new name for God, Elohim, throughout the whole first story. Now he's Adonai Elohim, or Yahweh Elohim. You see, when I say Elohim, Yahweh, I say Adonai Elohim, because Jews don't pronounce that other name for God. They used to, but about the 5th century B.C. they stopped. Now, at the time when Adonai God made the earth and the heavens, while as yet there was no field shrub, I think I like, if you don't mind, I hate to do this, but there is no thing that represents at the time in the text. It's more desolate. And if you don't mind, I'll read it from here. Excuse me, where am I now? There. You see, the Genesis, the text goes up to chapter 4. Then, when you get just, it's so poetic and it's so different. On the day of Yahweh, Adonai God's making the heaven and the earth. And, you see, there was no tree shrub as yet. Or how do they translate that here? And no grass had sprouted. For Adonai God had set the two things you need for life, a gift from heaven and human work. And so, human culture. See, the word for culture, even in our language, we get cultivate, cult. You see? It just doesn't mean painting an opera. It means creating, building the world with human activity, which is man's dignity. And so, the Lord God made the earth, and while as yet there was no field shrub on earth and no grass, for the Lord God had sent no rain, and there was no Adam to till the soil. Nobody to take advantage, to guide, to work with this earth. You see? And so, he goes on to tell that story, and he goes through the a whole different way of portraying. This is poetic, it's mythical, it's mystical, but it's conveying a huge reality. God's involvement in creation. He didn't stand back and say, let there be, he did. But the let there be, he was present. And what the second text, different tradition, is telling us is, and that's why the authors who put all this together, they put them side by side. One modifies the other. Isn't that beautiful? And so, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and he placed there the Adam, whom he had formed, you know? I'm skipping. Adonai God took the man and settled him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it. You see, Avodah and Shomrah, to work it and care for it, keep it. Okay. Those are cultic words, too. Adonai God gave the man this order. The text just says he said, but that's all right. You are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that tree you shall not eat, for on the day you eat of it, you will surely die. It's a command. And why does God give that command? To raise man to another level. Just trust me. Don't eat that. Just trust me. I've given you life. I've given you existence. I've given you everything. Now I'm saying, don't touch that. you'll die. And there's no doubt. It doesn't say you might die. It says mot tamut, which is legal terminology. You find that all the time in the book. Makei ish vamet, mot yumat. If a man strikes another man and he dies, let him die the death. Mot yumat. So it's here. I'm sorry I gave you all that Hebrew, but trying to help you see this, you see. So it's moving. The Lord God said, it is not good, this man's being alone. Let me make for him a helper matching him. Then Adonai God fashioned out of the soil of all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the heaven, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the Adam called any living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the tame animals, to all the birds of the heavens, to all the beasts of the field. But for the man, there was found no helper matching him. There was no, this word that's used for helper here, is used for God, too. See? No helper. It doesn't mean the man comes home and says, what time supper, where's my slippers? No, the help now is that he be human. You can't be human without another human being. And then the mystery, she's not made like him. She's different. So that between them, there's friendship and life. You see? So Adonai God made a deep sleep come upon the man, and he slumbered. And he took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. Then Adonai God built up the rib he had taken from the man into a woman, and led her to the man. The rabbinic saying, blessed the man who has the creator of the world as his, bring the bride to him. You know? So he brings her. And now for the first time, Adam speaks. Odpam. Now. At last. You see? Is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. That's covenant terminology. When the Israelites go down to Hebron to bring David back up to Jerusalem to be king over there, they say, be king over us because you're bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. You belong to us. So you see, she shall be called, this one shall be called woman, Isha. Ish with the accusative, Ish is the man. Isha and the feminine, you know. For from man, this one was taken. And then the point of this text, for what we're doing the rest of the Mass, for this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. Basar echad, one family, one. You see, flesh doesn't just, it does mean flesh, of course, but it means one family, one. Kol basar means all human reality in its frailty, in its greatness, in its potential, and its corruption. Kol basar. She shall be called, you see, Isha, because she comes from Ish. Okay? And then, our reading doesn't have it, but the next line is important because it forebodes what's going to happen. They were both naked, the man and his wife, but they felt no shame with one another. And the Pope points out, see, that becomes a limit experience. That is, I know what death is, I can extrapolate to non-death, even though I've never seen it. I know what shame is, I can extrapolate to non-shame. So it's a limit experience, shame. And so the text ends there. But that's the story of marriage. God's will. The beauty, the generosity. Imitate us, the Trinity. Give life, share life. You see? And this is the way Adam and Eva are the images of God. Different vision. It's poetic. It's mystical. It's, you see? But these men are mystics and theologians and entrusted by God after having been receiving revelation. And so that's the meaning of marriage.